Everyone to whom much was given, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more.
Hi, I'm Rob West.
Luke 12:48 is a powerful verse about stewardship. We should set goals for using the resources God entrusts to us. Today, I'll talk with Ron Blue about how those goals may change later in life. Then it's on to your questions at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, Ron Blue is the founding director of Kingdom Advisors, the author of many books on biblical finance, and a personal friend and mentor. So it's always a blessing to have him on the program. Ron, welcome back.
What a delight to join you again, Rob. Thank you.
Absolutely. And Ron, they say that if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. So I guess setting goals for our finances and using money wisely is very important. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And I think there's really three things to remember, Rob. Goals give you direction. You Yes. can change goals as time goes on. I tell people to write your goals on the sand, Yeah. on the seashore, and when the wave comes and washes it away, you reset it.
Yes.
So it's not something that's a once and for all. And I think as you set goals, you develop convictions about what you believe God would have you to do. So it's a Yeah. process, not an event.
That's really helpful. Perhaps that even can help us to set some goals, because maybe if we see them as permanent, we'll resist doing it because we're afraid we'll get them wrong. But if we know they'll change over time, that may give us the encouragement to go ahead and get that goal setting done. All right, Ron, younger folks may have certain goals, like, of course, saving to buy a house or maybe to put the kids through college. But you tell us that later in life, those goals will, of course, change. Tell us about that.
Well, as your life changes, and, you know, I've lived for a long time, Rob. I'll be 81 in a month, and I've seen that my goals have changed multiple times, and they're far different today than what they were 30 years ago, 20 years ago. And I think one broad change is that you switch from accumulation to distribution as your goals. And as you see your adult children grow and parent, you see different needs that they may have, and that'll affect your goals. And I think goals, when they're met, it frees you up to give. And your lifestyle changes as you get older also. So that's why I say you write them in sand, because they change over time. But that's Yeah. okay. That's the way life is.
That's right. Well, to switch from accumulation to distribution requires that we know when we have enough. So how do we set that financial finish line?
Well, if you have goals, you know, it's easier to see younger, fund college education, buy a home, buy a car, whatever it may be. But I think later on, as you age, you can set distribution goals and ask the Lord, Lord, do I have enough? And how much is enough?
Yeah.
And then you're freed up to give when you know that you have enough. And
Yes.
most people never really answer the question, how much is enough? So it frees you up to give. And that's the biggest thing about setting goals as you get older.
Oh, that's so important. Ron, you also mentioned that distribution includes not only giving to ministry or charity, but also to our kids. How do we know the appropriate amount to leave for an inheritance?
You pray a lot. And I think you ask yourself a couple of questions, Rob. One question is, what's the worst thing that could happen if I give X amount to X child?
Yeah.
And then kind of what is the likelihood of that and what is the consequence of that? And as you talk that through, you begin to think about how you're going to handle each child. And you know that I've said forever that if you love your children equally, you'll treat them uniquely, just the way
Yes.
God treats us
uniquely.
So
Yes.
so it took Judy and I, the first time we went through this, at least 2 years to answer those questions about what's the worst thing and what's the consequence and how likely is it to occur. And it was different for all five of our children. And
Yes.
So that's the advice that I would give. Give yourself time. And if you ask the right question, you'll get the right answer.
Well, you're never going to be able to handle God's money as wisely as you possibly can without a plan and without some goals. And Ron, you've helped us to think about both of those today. Thanks for stopping by, my friend.
Thank you, Rob. Enjoyed it again, as usual.
All right. Ron Blue, financial author and teacher and regular contributor here on the program. Stay tuned. Much more to come just around the corner. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The desert. Have you ever seen it? Dirt and sand as far as the eye can see. There may be a cactus or a prickly bush here or there, but not much else. It's a desolate, dry place. Sometimes life can feel that way, can't it? Every Christian has felt that way from time to time, ever since sin entered this world. King David described it well in Psalm 63, but he wasn't thirsting for water. No, he was thirsting for the Lord, and he knew God would provide for him. And we know Christ gives us living water. And that's why the king could write these words to his God, "I cling to you, your right hand upholds me." That's the Christian life, even in the desert. Grow in your walk with Christ. Visit getanchored.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress wraps up his series, What Every Christian Should Know, with an overview of the end times. Then Dr. Jeffress begins a new series on the life of Elijah. It's called Choosing the Extraordinary Life. Find out how God can use extraordinary people like you and me to accomplish his extraordinary purpose when you listen this week to Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Great to have Ron Blue, our good friend, stop by today and challenge us with some thoughts around, well, financial finish lines, among other things. You know, this idea of setting a point where we define enough, both in terms of lifestyle, our monthly spending, and our accumulation. How much are we ultimately trying to save? I think is a critical part of our stewardship journey to say, God, what have you called me to? You haven't defined the quote unquote appropriate lifestyle in your word. So I need to wrestle through that. I need to live in the tension of saying, God, how much is enough? And working with my spouse, if I'm married, to determine what lifestyle God has called us to. We don't want to take our cues from the world. We don't want to try to get into the comparison trap and define our lifestyle by someone else's standards. We should make that decision ourselves. But here's the great thing is once we define enough, boy, there's great freedom that comes with that. The opportunity to be far more generous, to say, God, at this point, I'm no longer going to increase my lifestyle spending. And so I now have more to give away. And when I define an accumulation finish line, well, now I can do do some significant giving. I love the idea of not waiting until we're gone and with the Lord to do our major giving. What if we were to give off of our balance sheet much earlier in life because we know we can and we're trusting the Lord ultimately? That's where maximum generosity can be found. So perhaps as a part of your stewardship journey, maybe you should ask the question, how much is enough? And see what the Lord does as you wrestle through that. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're going to turn the corner and take your questions on anything financial today. Whatever you're thinking about, we'd love to tackle it. Perhaps it's your spending plan, maybe some debt repayment. You're wondering, how do you get those credit cards paid off? Maybe you have some old medical bills that you've been wrestling with. We'd love to chat about that. Maybe your giving plan or whatever it might be. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. And we've got some lines open. Our team would love to hear from you today. By the way, in the news today, the Fed meets today. The central bank is expected to raise interest rates by another quarter point. That rate hike has pretty much been baked into the markets, if you will, but analysts will be paying close attention to Chairman Powell's remarks when the action is announced at 2 Eastern today. That could signal future actions, and certainly his remarks always affect the markets. We'll certainly be paying a closer eye on that. Inflation data looking a little better as of late. So the real question is, beyond today's meeting, what does the future look like for interest rate hikes? Are we going to begin to see the Fed cool off here a bit? And if so, what does that mean for the markets? A lot to come. And today, all eyes on the Fed. It seems like they are the primary driver these days of everything market related. 800-525-7000. Before we take your calls today, and we, by the way, we'd love to hear from you with your questions and comments. Let's tackle an email. I mentioned medical bills, and Sue wrote to us and asked about that very topic. By the way, if you have an email you'd like to send along, you can always send those to askrob@faithfi.com. That's askrob@faithfi.com. We try to get a couple of emails on the air every day. This one comes from Sue. She says, are there bill consolidation places for medical bills? I don't have or use credit cards. I just want to consolidate and pay off these bills. And Sue, that's a great question. There are. I don't recommend them, though. Here's the reality. Medical providers are a lot easier to work with than typical lenders. So here's what I would do. I would contact each medical creditor and ask them to allow you to get on a payment program. Once you do, you're going to take all the balances that you have. I'd get a listing of those. And then once you work through the payment plan with each creditor, you're going to want to make sure that that fits within your budget. You can also ask each of them if they'll accept a smaller amount if you pay a lump sum now. Many of them will once it gets to that point. However, make sure you get that in writing. And once the bill is paid in full, you want to get confirmation of that. And then you want to follow up with your credit report. Because here's the reality, and a lot of people don't realize this, as of last July, all three credit bureaus agreed to remove medical debts from an individual's credit report once they've been paid, even if the account was previously delinquent. They also agreed to wait 1 year before reporting new unpaid medical debt. Now, this is a voluntary act by the bureaus, so it's important to check and make sure that a debt has in fact been deleted once it's paid off, but that would be a worthwhile activity. Speaking of that, I would also say it's, I think, really important for you to be pulling your credit reports regularly. I would use annualcreditreport.com. That's the government's website that allows you to access all three credit bureau reports at no cost. I'd pull those at least quarterly. That'll allow you to stay on top of inaccurate information, also information that's not necessarily related to you. This would be one of the ways that you can identify identity theft, because if you see a new account pop up on your credit report that you didn't open, that may mean somebody opened that in your name fraudulently. This would be a way you could spot that and take care of it. So make sure at least quarterly you're checking that credit report, looking for inaccurate information. I think that'll go a long way. Thanks for writing to us, Sue. This one comes from Karen. By the way, phone lines are open today. We're going to be taking your calls and questions in the next segment of the broadcast. So this would be a great time to get on board with whatever you're thinking about today financially. We'd love to chat with you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. This one came to us at AskRob@FaithFi.com. Karen writes, on one of your programs, you mentioned being able to have all of your bills paid when you die or pass to heaven. How would a person set this up? And I enjoy your program on WFCJ in Ohio. Well, here's the thing. Number one, your bills are going to be paid through your estate once you pass away. So typically you would have a will that names an executor for your estate. That executor would then be responsible for paying off your creditors and distributing your remaining assets according to your will, according to your wishes, which really there's only a couple of places it can go other than the government. It can go to your heirs or it can go to ministry or charity. So here's the key, Karen. You want to make sure that you have a will in place that is going to allow you to honor your wishes with regard to what God has entrusted to you. You'd rather not have the court be making those decisions for you. So if you don't have even a simple will, folks, make sure you put that in place. It's going to be critical. Because here's the reality. When we think about wealth transfer, that is the last stewardship decision we'll make. And we want to be prepared for that. Number one, we want to make sure that God's resources are getting the place we want them to go. But number two, we need to have a thoughtful process for our wealth transfer. For instance, if we're going to leave an inheritance, and I think that's a great thing, have we thought through that, the why behind it, and where are each of the heirs at in terms of their spiritual and financial maturity? What's the worst thing that could happen here? What do I expect to happen? What do I hope will happen? And as you think through that with intentionality, you may uncover that an inheritance may take a child who's perhaps on the right, wrong path currently and accelerate those poor lifestyle choices and decisions, which may mean that you make, at least for now, because you can change it, a decision to withhold that or place certain conditions upon which those assets are passed off. We certainly wouldn't want to encourage them to pursue a path that's going to lead them away from the Lord if they're making some poor decisions. So be thoughtful and prayerful about that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, your calls and questions. The number, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. Give us a call right now. This is Faith and Finance. Much more to come just around the corner. Stay with us.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions now, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open, 800-525-7000. We began today by talking to our good friend Ron Blue. Ron stops by each month to share his sage wisdom and advice with us. He's been writing books and planning with clients and talking about biblical finance for more than four decades, and we always appreciate his counsel. Today, he talked about setting stewardship goals later in life. He touched on how much is enough and setting financial finish lines, the importance of goal setting, and the importance of being willing to change your goals along the way. Ron's advice and experience is featured regularly in our weekly wisdom email from FaithFi. Each week, we send a special email message from me, plus the trending articles, videos, and podcasts on a variety of financial topics from a biblical worldview. And we'd love for you to join thousands and thousands of others who are receiving our weekly wisdom email every week by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to register. That's faithfi.com and click sign up. It will be going out tomorrow morning. And so if you head over to faithfi.com right now, you can get signed up. Make sure you get that weekly encouragement to help you grow in your understanding of managing God's money wisely. Again, all of the latest articles and videos and podcasts, what we believe is the best in Christian finance each week, right there in your inbox, ready for you to consume free of charge. Again, faithfi.com. Click sign up on our brand new website. By the way, while you're there, jump into the FaithFi community. You may not realize that we have a community there on our site where folks are asking questions, posting ideas literally every day, and other folks are encouraging them and providing responses. And it's become really an active community of stewards just sharing ideas with one another. So be sure to check it out while you're there. All right, let's dive into some phone calls. Two lines open, 800-525-7000. We're going to head to Texas. Teresita, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes, Matt. Yes, sir. Sorry.
That's okay.
I have a question. I have paid off my credit cards except for one, which is the $47,000, and I went through the consolidation. The consolidation paid off all of my credit card except for the $47,000. And it's getting me upset because it's taking forever. And then so what I did, I went and went to another consolidation to pay off the $47,000, the last one. And so they were paying that off. That was paid off. But the old consolidation was charging me the fees. And it came out to a total of $27,000 with an interest of 26%. So is it possible for me to have somebody pay this $27,000 that I still owe for the servicing fees on consolidation? I will. They're taking $772 every month from my account.
Wow.
Directly.
Teresita, if I understand correctly, and you are paying 26% interest, and you've got $26,000 or $27,000 in interest and fees
on top of this debt. That is really disheartening. I'm so sorry to hear that you're in this situation. What you no longer have any credit card debt. You took out a new loan to pay that off, and that's what you're referring to as the consolidation loan. Is that right?
No, I did not take any loan. I was just paying it off out of my income.
Okay, so you were paying it directly to your original creditors?
Yeah. Well, the consolidation is paying them off. And okay. The consolidation is taking money directly from my account. Yeah. But it's getting me upset because it's taking forever. Okay. And the second consolidation, I told them I'd rather pay it off myself. Okay. I feel like I am being cheated. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like the sound of what you have going on here. I want to have my friends at Christian Credit Counselors look at this, Teresita. Normally, when we use the word consolidation, we talk about a new loan coming in and paying off the other loans, and then we pay everything to one new lender, but everything's been consolidated or put together and hopefully at a lower interest rate. It doesn't sound like that's what you have here. The second option is what's called debt settlement, where they go in and just negotiate after you're past due. A payment plan or a payoff, but I don't recommend that because it trashes your credit and usually it doesn't work out in your favor. The third option, which is what I recommend, is called debt management or credit counseling, where you'd use existing programs to get the interest rates down with the original creditor. The account is closed, and if you pay through a nonprofit credit counseling agency, the combination of a level payment plus a lower interest rate allows you to get that paid off much, much quicker, but with a lot less fees and interest than you're describing. So that's where I'm a little confused. So if you're comfortable using the internet, are you comfortable going on the web?
Yeah, but right now I'm driving. I'm heading
that's fine.
To my office.
Oh, sure. Well, I want you to be careful and keep your eyes on the road. But here's the thing. When you get there, head to ChristianCreditCounselors.org. ChristianCreditCounselors.org. And I want you to call their toll-free number. These are all believers, Teresita. Explain to them what you have, show them the documentation, and they'll tell you how they can help you. Hopefully, if you're with the original creditors, they'll be able to say, listen, Teresita, we can get these interest rates way down and get a lot more of your monthly payment every month going to the actual principal reduction. That's really the goal here. But I want them to evaluate what you have and tell you how they can help you. And if for some reason they can't or you have further questions, you can call us back. But when you get to work, the website again is ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you for calling today. We appreciate it. Joe and Alan, we're coming your way just after this break. If you all hang right there, we'd love to tackle your questions today. Joe wants to talk about IRAs, something related to yesterday's program. And then Alan wants to talk about this idea of how much is enough, one of my favorite topics. We'll dive into both of those questions just around the corner. We've got room for a few more. 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
This week on Truth for Life, join Alistair Begg as he turns to the pages of Scripture to answer long-standing debates about baptism. You'll also learn how to witness by the way you worship and discover what effective church leadership looks like. Listen to Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. sure helped us stick to our budget.
Hmm.
And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free faith and finance account. Just visit faithfi.com and click sign up.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day. Banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, it's our privilege here at AFR to allow God's Word to intersect with every facet of your lives, whether it's how you show up at the polls to vote, or what you're doing in your marriage, or just your own personal journey with the Lord, but also with your finances, the resources God has entrusted to you. That's what we want to do on this program, is bring you the counsel of Scripture so you can apply it to the decisions and your choice and choices you're making as a steward or a manager of all that God has asked you to be caretaker over. We've got some phone lines open for you to ask questions today or make a comment. 800-525-7000. Let's head back to the phones to Ohio. Joe, thank you for waiting patiently. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. You made a comment to somebody tomorrow about, or yesterday, about paying your taxes or paying the tax on your IRA and paying it before you retire or whatever. I'm not sure if I understand what you were saying.
Okay.
You said something about paying your taxes earlier, and then when you get older, you're making more money and you pay your taxes on that. And I'm just not sure if that's what you were talking about.
I see. Yes, sir. Well, maybe I can clarify. I'm not exactly sure what you're referring to, but let's work through it together. There are two types of IRAs. There's the traditional IRA, where you actually get the deduction when you make the contribution in the year of the contribution. So that allows you to exclude that amount that you're contributing to the traditional IRA from your current year's adjusted gross income that's taxable. That then grows tax deferred, so the taxes are not putting a drain or a drag on the investment gains while it's growing inside the IRA. So think of the IRA, you know, is the umbrella. So the taxes, as the rain come down, they don't touch the assets underneath that IRA umbrella, so they can grow freely. But then when you pull it out in retirement after 59 and a half, let's say you separate from paid work and now you're going to start living off or supplementing your income from the IRA, as you take it out, it's going to be added to your taxable income. And so you pay tax on it as income when you take it out as a distribution. There's another type of IRA called a Roth IRA that Senator Roth helped us to put in place decades ago. And that is different in that when you make the contribution, you don't get the current year tax deduction. You put in after-tax dollars, so you pay the tax on it, then you make the contribution, and as that grows, it grows tax-free. So again, in the same way, it's growing without any effect, without the taxes affecting it. But when you pull it out in retirement, you pull all the gains out tax-free. You never pay any tax on it when you take it out in retirement. So that is, in effect, a way to go ahead and pay the taxes today, put the money in the Roth, let it grow, and then you don't pay taxes down the road. Could that have been what you heard?
No. Well, you said something about paying the taxes after you retire because you're making more money. I disagree with you on that because I was making double what I'm making now on Social Security.
Yeah.
So
I would agree with you there. Yeah, perhaps maybe you misunderstood or I misspoke because, yeah, the reality is most folks are going to pay a lot less in taxes in retirement because they're making a lot less. So, you know, they're just living on Social Security and maybe supplementing that with retirement assets as they draw an income from a 401k that's been rolled to an IRA. So they're making less. The only question would be if we're talking about somebody who's younger, maybe in their 30s, and we're saying, what is the tax code going to look like, you know, 35 years down the road? The odds are that we're talking about a tax code that is higher today in terms of the marginal tax rates than it, you know, down the road than it is today, just because I think we're at the lower end today of what will ultimately be the tax code. I would tend to agree, politically speaking, with where we are today, if not lower. But I think the consensus is, you know, we're going to see higher marginal tax rates down the road. So that would be a consideration. But all things being equal, Joe, I would agree with you. Most people are going to pay less in retirement because they have less income. And so that makes the case for the traditional 401k or IRA because I get the tax deduction now while I'm working and making more money. And then I pay, you know, taxes on it when it comes out in retirement because I'm making less at that point. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, I didn't understand it that way. I thought you were saying yesterday that you're making more money after you retire. And I said,
typically not. No, I get that. And if I did, then I misspoke. So thanks for pointing that out, Joe. I think we're on the same page, though. God bless you, my friend. To North Carolina. Hi, Alan. How can I help you, sir?
Well, thank you for taking my call. And I so much appreciate your advice. Today, the question that you have posed really intrigues me because it's one that I'm facing. But I'm retired from the Army, and I draw Social Security plus a partial disability. And so all of my finances are from the government. Through the years, I would invest in the stock market and seem to do pretty well at that. But then before I retired, I had planned to buy a home and pay cash for it, and that's what I did. Now, and so I have really no expenses. I try to pay, buy everything with cash. I pay off any credit card balances every month. Great. And a question I have for you, because I have about maybe at any given time, I have about $3,000 just as a reserve. But my question of you is, you're talking about building up a reserve. Do you think that I need anything in addition to my retirement income?
Yeah. Well, so the question is, in this season of life, Alan, what could you need other than your income? So if your income sources are guaranteed for the rest of your life, you're living modestly, they're more than you need to cover your bills, then what could change? Well, the primary thing that could change here is if you need significant long-term care. Now, as a veteran, you may, you know, have that covered with, you know, services and facilities that are available to you. But to the extent you needed nursing care or in-home care, I mean, that could run, you know, $6,000-$10,000 a month. So if something is going to erode your assets in this season of life, that's usually what it's going to be. Apart from that, because you're debt-free and living modestly, I mean, you know, there's only four things we can do with money. There's the money we live on, the money we give, the money money we owe and the money we grow. Well, you've eliminated the O bucket because you're not going to pay any more tax than you're already paying and you don't owe anybody anything. If you've capped your lifestyle because you don't need to spend more on your living expenses, then that live bucket comes off. So then it's just give and grow. And the question is, how much do you need to continue to grow for the future versus how much can you start accelerating your giving right now because you just don't need any more? And I think really the only kind of wild card, if you will, is if you were to need kind of major expense related to your long-term care, if you needed that sort of, you know, nursing care or in-home care that could be very expensive. Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. And I would just, again, go along with what you say about, I became a Christian late, about challenging people to give the first 10% to the Lord, yeah, and then the other 90% spends better, but also challenge people to start living on a fraction of what you make.
I love it. I love it. Unfortunately, I've got to hit a break, but that's music to my ears, Alan. Hey, thank you for your service, my friend, and thanks for your call today. We'll be right back.
Today's issues.
There's going to be a panel to investigate the January 6th Commission. I think it's going to be very exciting to watch as they haul in Alejandro Mayorkas. If Dr. Fauci thought he was going into retirement, he's going to be called back.
Also, they are going to be investigating the weaponization of the federal government.
Yeah, I want to hear that one. Yes, that's important.
Today's issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
She spent 40 years telling her courageous story of faith and perseverance during World War II. I'm Charles Morris, and 40 years after Corrie Ten Boom went home to be with the Lord, I want to revisit her legacy of sacrifice and endurance on a Haven Today series called Return to the Hiding Place.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Well, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open. It's our final segment. We'll try to get to a few more questions. What are you thinking about today financially? We'd love to help you navigate that. 800-525-7000. Pat Montague standing by today, and we'd love to take your question, get you on the air quickly. Again, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to our good friend Alan, and Alan has served this country as a veteran, is living modestly. He's living off of Social Security and some disability. He's got his bills covered. He's debt-free, and he wanted to challenge us in two things, and I loved what he said right there at the end. He said, I want to challenge you, number one, to give proportionately right off the top to your local church. He wants you to be a regular and faithful tither in your giving. And I wholeheartedly agree. Number two, he said, I also want to challenge you to live below your means, to live on, he said, a fraction of what God is providing so that ultimately you have more to give away. Because here's the reality is that, you know, here in this season of life, Alan has more than he needs coming in, and he's able to say, you know what, God, I can define enough. And then I can accelerate my giving to you, which is part of the virtuous cycle of the creator bestowing resources to the creation so that it can be used to enrich and improve the lives of others, but also to be given back to the creator to invest in what the creator is doing, because God is at work literally in your community and all over the globe. And one of the great privileges we have is to take a portion of what he's entrusted to us and return it to him so that we can have a piece or a part of God's activity. And there's incredible joy that comes from that. And that's a virtuous cycle as God gives to us and we give back to him and he continues to give to us. And it just goes around and around. And that's the good life. It's not about how much can I hoard as I build bigger barns. There wasn't very much good to say about the rich fool in God's word who was building bigger barns so he could eat and drink and not have any worries in life. Instead, we should be rich toward God, which simply means we handle money in such a way that it is apparent that God is our true treasure and not the things of this world. So think about that today. Perhaps ask a different question, not how much should I give, but Lord, how much should I keep? That may change everything. All right, here in our remaining moments today, we'll take some questions. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Georgia. Hey, Jay, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I've just taken on the duties of doing all the financial records for my church, and we currently have a donation processing company that we're using, but I'm looking for something that's biblically based and maybe would have lower rates. I just think we're paying too much for what we're paying to the company for, you know, handling our donations.
Yes, very good. Well, there's a number of options out there that you ought to look at. And basically, you've got the processing side, but then you've also got the platform behind it. Which one are you using today?
We're using PushPay.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You know, there's a good number of them. Tithely would be another one you ought to take a look at. You can just do a Google search for that. They're a wonderful resource that I think you will enjoy learning more about. There's a number of great ones. And what I'd love to do perhaps is have my team get your information so I can send you a list of them. I don't have them right here, but we do have some great ones that we've compiled in the past. And I'd love to get you, I've got probably three or four that you ought to take a look at that are probably the leading platforms in this space, serving churches specifically. So if you would do this, let me have Pat get your information and we'll connect with you by email and send you that list that you ought to take a look at. How has that been, has been going as you've been moving to more online giving? Has the congregation been responding to that?
Yes, it was a real slow start, and I hate to say that was the one good thing of the pandemic was that people seemed it seemed to pick up during the COVID pandemic a lot. They said that it should increase our giving. We just didn't see that at first, but we have a slightly older congregation, so I'm sure that, you know, all of those folks don't have smartphones. And I mean, that's the way I do it. I just get on my smartphone and, you know, within like 10 seconds, you know, I've done my tithe.
Yes.
So it's real convenient. But again, we just have some older folks that probably don't like to do anything online. They'd rather write a check and give it to the church. So
yeah, no, I get that. And you're always going to have that. I think over time, you're going to see obviously more and more people that are going to, you know, look for this, especially as this next generation become, you know, a bigger part of the giving of the local church. You know, that's just the way they pay for things. They're not accustomed to writing checks for anything. You know, everything is electronic. And so I think the one question a lot of folks ask is, you know, is it still an act of worship if I'm giving it online? And I would say, well, that's really between you and the Lord. I mean, I do my giving, Julie and I do, electronically. I know we had Ron Blue on at the beginning of the program today, and Ron is, in his 80s, and he and Judy used to do online giving, and they felt like they were missing a component of the worship
part of it by doing that just because they didn't see it. And so what they decided to do was, and this is their current practice today, every Sunday morning at breakfast, he comes down with a 3x5 card with any income they received for that previous week. They pray over it, thank the Lord for that provision. Judy writes the check based on a tenth of that amount, and then they take it to church with them, and they just feel like that's a more worshipful experience. I think for others, they're delighted, and it's just as worshipful to give online. It's certainly a lot more efficient. So I think, you know, it's really up to each person to say, what works for me, and how can I make this a part of my act of worship and do it in a way that's efficient and effective? And I think over time, Jay, you're going to see more and more people, you know, choose the electronic method just because that's the way things are going today. But I appreciate you asking the question. I want to get you that comprehensive list, and unfortunately, I don't have that right at my fingertips. So stay on the line, Pat. We'll get your information, and we'll get that out to you. Thanks for calling today. 800-525-7000. We've got just a little bit of time left today. Hey, let me tackle another topic that I think a lot of folks ask about when they write to us, and that is it okay to ask God for material blessings? You know, it's not unusual for people to daydream about owning a better house or driving a nicer car or just having more money. But is it healthy to dwell on what you don't possess? Let me take that a step further. Is it okay to ask God for material blessings? Now, of course, God is our Heavenly Father, and like a loving Father, He wants His children to come to Him with our needs and questions and requests. Hebrews is clear. It says, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. It's because of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection that we can approach God like this. So, of course, you can ask God for material blessings. You can ask Him for anything. But like a loving father, sometimes His answer is no, that's not good for you. The problem with material prosperity is most people don't handle it well. That's just the reality. Here's what the Bible says. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. That's because while money itself is neutral, it can absolutely become an idol. A consuming desire for wealth and prosperity could mean you're discontented or envious of people who have more than you. Well, that's sin. You could be thinking that God doesn't know what He's doing, or that you deserve more, or even that God owes you something. Well, those aren't true. Those are lies. You see, a desire for prosperity is really a heart issue, and it can say that you really are discontent with God's provision. You remember Genesis 8:21 says, the imagination of a man's heart is evil from his youth. We are sinners. So if you're discontented with your financial situation, or maybe you're dealing with envy, maybe you're not happy with God for not giving you more material blessings, here's what I would encourage you to do. And let's finish with this today. I would first talk to God about it. Ask Him to change your heart if necessary. Psalm 37:4 says, when you delight yourself in the Lord, then He shall give you the desires of your heart. That means when you're trusting Jesus, He will give you new desires to replace old sinful ones. Second, stop looking at what other people have and concentrate on being a good steward or a manager of what you have. You can trust God to provide for your needs, and you'll discover that whatever material blessings He gives you will be enough. Comparison is the contentment killer, and we need to be focusing on how can we be content with what God has provided right now, and that starts with our gratitude to God for everything He has entrusted to us. And then finally, remember what's true. If you're a Christian, your prosperity lies in the riches of knowing Christ. You're storing up permanent treasures in heaven when you give. The bottom line, folks, spiritually, is that prosperity doesn't define you. Jesus does. So if you lost everything tomorrow, would you be able to say, like Job, blessed be the name of the Lord? I would submit that's the right attitude. Much harder to do than to say, but that's the attitude. No matter how much or how little you have. Finally, let me share a quote from Bibles for America. Christ came so that we could have eternal divine life. This is vastly different from thinking Christ came so that we could have a better human life. He came so we could have Him, the divine life. So to get back to the original question, yes, it's okay to ask God for material blessings, but what we really need is more of Jesus. Life in Christ is richer than anything we can ever
imagine. So today, think about that. And let's think about and start with what God has already given us, an abundance, starting with the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. If you haven't placed your trust in Him, I'd encourage you to do that today. Ask for the forgiveness of sin and for Him to become Lord of your life so that you can now be in a right relationship with Him. Hey folks, thanks for being along with us today on Faith and Finance. It's my privilege each day to gather with you to explore the scriptures and apply them to your financial lives. Couldn't do it without my team today, so on behalf of Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry, I'm Rob West, and it's been a joy to be along. Hope you come back and join us tomorrow. We'll do it all over again. And by the way, check out our website at faithfi.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly wisdom email while you're there. It goes out in the morning. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.